Tesvav Pasuk Tezayin 15:16. Perek Tesvav Pasuk Tezayin Toiv Ma'at Biras Hashem Mi Oitzar Rav Muhuma Vo. It's much better to earn a small amount, through Yiras Hashem, to earn your income. Everything should be honest. Rather than oitzer of an enormous oitzer, a great wealth, umuhuma vo, but there was muhuma, in this context means there are people, according to the Mitzudos, there are complaints. There is a suspicion that the money has not been earned honestly. Let's see the Mitzudos pastas vav toiv ma'at. Yoiser toiv ma'at choyin habav yerushem. It is much better to earn a little bit, a small amount of wealth that comes to the Yiras Hashem, uvi yosher, me'oitzerav, boy, rather than earning, having an enormous amount of wealth, but bo, the money comes with a lot of bitterness. Mehumas kol b'nei adam, a tumult, a mehuma, a lot of commotion of people, tzoakim, screaming, al ha'oishek asher bo, screaming that the money has been earned dishonestly. The money has been robbed. So, okay, the Rav Shulah Sifri, the Rashi Pasuk Tezvav, Toiv Ma'at Biyos Hashem Yotzerav Mehuma Bo, Kol B'nei Adam Tzoikim, what is the Mehuma Bo? Rashi says the same thing as the Mitzudos, Kol B'nei Adam Tzoikim Shenasech Oitzer Migezel V'chamas. People are complaining, people are screaming that the Oitzer, the wealth, has been attained through theft and chamas, violence or extortion. Kemo v'rohu muhumas rabos besocha v'ashukim bikirba paskin amos. We almost complaining against the corruption taking place in Eretz Yisrael, and there it says he saw the muhumas rabos besocha, an abundance of complaints of commotion in the city. V'ashukim bikirba, and there is corruption, there is extortion bikirba in the city. So that's what the pasuk is telling us, that better to earn a little bit with honesty than to earn a lot through with a lot of complaint. Okay, this always goes back to Yaakov Avinu. We mentioned this last week. This is very kedai for Zois Chanukah. Vayivos Yaakov Levadoi. Just to say the Chazal, Al Tikri Levadoi El Lekadoi. Yaakov Avinu returned to retrieve the Pachim Ketanim. Why was he so concerned to retrieve the Pachim Ketanim? Rashi says because here we learn that the Mammon of Tzadikim is Chaviv Aleihem. Why is the money of a tzaddik precious, even though it's only worth a few dollars? How much will the pachim ketanim really work? Will they really worth kedai shmi moisa nefesh? The answer is yes, because it came through hard-earned, honest yerushamayim. The pachim ketanim remind Yaakov Avinu about yerushamayim. Even these pennies were earned with nisyonos, was earned honestly, in contrast to the millions and the enormous wealth of other people who are not earned honestly. Okay, let's see the next pasuk Yud Zayin, Toiv Aruchas Yarok. Same idea, better to have Aruchas Yarok, a meal. Aruchas means a meal of vegetables. V'aha v'asham, and to be in good company, to be loved over there. Mishor Avus, instead of eating from an ox that has been fattened, the sinavo, and the guest is not welcome. Better be a member of a shul where you are accepted, even if the shul is nothing special, there's nothing there, there are not so many amenities, the shul is not so beautiful. If there's ahava sham, if there's love there, you are accepted, that is worth everything. Better than go to a fancy, beautiful community and have all of the bells and whistles, all of the gashmias, but the sinavo, but there is sinas chinam, and there is people are not accepted for who they are. The Varm Shudim says so here in the Mesudas Pasuk Yitzayin, Aruchas. What is the word Aruchas? This means a meal of yarok. Aruchas suuda shal yarok, a meal of vegetables. B'makam shohayavim oiso, where they love him. Toy v'yoyser, it's far superior misuudas shor hapatam, a suuda of a fattened ox, ala ovus, an ox that has been, an ox that came through a ovus. The place where he's receiving this, he is hated. Mr. Ziegelbaum. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Welcome. Yes, I know. But you deserve a welcome today as well. Zegelam. Okay. So therefore it's better to come to a makom where he is loved, where he is appreciated, even if the accommodations are very minimal, than to go rather going to a place where a 5-star hotel, rather where the sinavo, where he is not welcome. Okay, let's see. Rashi pasuk Yud Zayin says Mishur Avos She'ovsim Osobah Hamachal B'Fin. What does it mean? Avos means force feeding. Okay, this was very common ancient time. She'ovsim Osobah Hamachal B'Fin Al Karcha. They put the food into the mouth of the animal. Avos literally means a trough, a feeding trough. But here it means more than that. It means where they force the food down the throat of the animal. Kedei lefatmo, to fatten the animal. V'chein barburim avusim. We have this expression in Sefer Melachim. Barburim means fattened animals, or fattened geese. V'yesh l'moshlo. Now here, v'yesh l'moshlo. What is the moshlo of this pasuk? K'neged koymeitz ma'at shel ani. A small fistful. A koymeitz, a small fistful of wheat of an ani. Shechaviv mishor chata shel rasha. So here, Rashi over here is going to the Medrash. Rashi was saying this, not just the simple meaning of going to a place where you're welcome, to a little diner where they like you, rather than go to have a fancy meal in the place where they hate you, but it means reference to korbanos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prefers the mincha, the meal offering of an ani, better than the fat, expensive animal of the asher, when the asher is a rasha. That's why it says by the ani nefesh ki sakriv. In the parasha of Karban Mincha, the expression the Torah uses is the word nefesh. In the parasha of the Karbanis, it does not say the word nefesh. Chazal explaining when an ani brings a karban, an ani is humble, he's meek, he's abused, he is oppressed. An ani, when he goes through the effort of bringing a karban, it's as if he's bringing his neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Hashem does not want the expensive animals. That has no meaning. And that's what Rashi here says. When it says here, the Yorek, the Aruchas Yorek, is a marshal for the koimates, the meal offering, the fistful of flour that's put on the Mizbech. It's more chavir by Hashem, this Ahav Hashem. Hashem has love for the ani that brings this karban, more so than the shor avos, the fattened ox that is brought by the rasha, the sinabo. Hashem is angry at the rasha. One more time, it was the rasha v'yesh l'moshlo k'neged koymeitz ma'at shel ani, the small amount of flour that is brought to the mincha of the ani, shechav mishor chatas mochav then shor chatas shel rasha. Dover acher. Another interpretation. Toiv aruchas yarak lo seis l'ani. It's better to give ahav Hashem laharus loyponim yafos mishar avus lahachil loybos hashamin v'yirenu ponim zayfos. When a poor man comes to a home, when a collector comes, and if you give him $1 and you give it to him nicely and you smile and you offer him a drink of water, that is worth much more than giving him $1,000 and saying to him, you good for nothing schnorrer, why don't you get a job, why don't you go do something, get a life. He would take the $1,000, exactly. He would say, I'll take the $1,000 and I'll take the insult. I know exactly what you mean. I'll come back for the money, I'll come back. It's very sad how some of these people they become insensitive. It's all the money. Money is everything. Okay, but over here the very powerful halacha is that laharos lepanim yafos, when a person comes and he wants a gift, it's very important to show him panim yafos that is more beloved by Kadosh Baruch Hu than to go give a person an enormous amount of money and to insult him. How true it is. So according to this interpretation, aruchas yark refers to the giver, refers to us. A person who's giving tzedakah, give it with ahava, don't give it with panim zefos, with an angry face. Okay, now, there's a very nice moshel, a very long moshel, medrash mishlei, and discusses Shlomo HaMelech. Okay, we all know that Shlomo HaMelech at one point in time was deposed by Ashmedai, the king of the demons. The king of the demons, at one point in time, he had, this is a Gemara, I think, Masechta Chelek, if I'm not mistaken, in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara talks about Shlomo HaMelech, who was removed from his throne, and he became a beggar. He was homeless. And he went around the whole country telling people, do you know who I am? I am Shlomo HaMelech. I'm the king. And they all said to him, that's right, you're Shlomo HaMelech. Here, this is where the nearest medical facility, the psychiatric ward, is. If you're Shlomo HaMelech, what are you doing knocking on my door? But it seems from this medrash, people didn't believe him. It seems in this medrash that Shlomo HaMelech, there were people that did indeed believe him. He did find some people that were sympathetic to his cause. It's a very long medrash, and it basically says that there were two people that he met who believed him. And one person, he took him in, Shlomo HaMelech, what are you doing here? I was deposed. There was this an intruder. This demon called Ashmedai is sitting on my throne. And he's making believe that he's the king. And I'm out here in the street. So this person says, okay, come into my house. I'll take you in. So let me read over you a few words of this medrash. Bo echad mehem nishtatech lefanov. There was a person, Shlomo HaMelech, he complained to this person. Amalei Adoni HaMelech. This person believed him. I believe you, you're the king. But listen, in the meantime, we have to make do. So come to my house. I'll give you free room and board until you figure out how to get back into the palace. However, so he took him into the house. Ve'heleu la'aliyah. He took him into his dining room. And he said, you're the king. If you're the king, I have to serve you. Kesuda shloimei b'shaitai. Pshutai kimashmo. You're Shlomo. I have to serve you a lav shmil. So he sacrificed, he slaughtered a shorin ox, which is very expensive. Ve'evilu l'fon of mat'am and rabim, they brought out everything, all the best delicacies. Ve'hischil mashmiel lo divrei malchus. And then this person, as he was sitting at the table, he was telling Shlomo, you know, I remember what you did 2 weeks ago. And I remember what happened, there was a banquet 3 weeks ago. And I remember there was a state dinner a year ago. And he starts reminiscing all of the events, the history of Shlomo HaMelech. And every time he told him about something about in the past, Shlomo HaMelech felt like someone stabbed his heart. Because he had so much tsar that he was not in his palace sitting on his throne. The Amalo, I'll read you the words. Zachur ata, do you, Shlomo, remember? Shasisa kach v'kach v'yem ploni, kishayisa melech, miyad midili, kevon shahiske lo, yimei malchuso. When Shlomo HaMelech recalled that only a short time ago he was the king, and he was secure, he was in his palace, hiskil boiche v'goye, he began to cry. V'chein kol oisa hasuda, and the entire meal, this individual who served him the best delicacies kept on reminding him about the good old days when indeed Shlomo HaMelech was king. At Sh'omad Misham, until Shlomo HaMelech was in so much tsar, he picked himself up and he left. He walked out of the person's house. Sh'omad Misham, Soveya Mibichiyoso. And he was satiated from his tears. He wasn't satisfied from the good food. He was satisfied from the tears that he drank, his own tears. Okay, the next day, L'machal, the next day, he walked in the street. He goes to shul. He looks for another sympathetic person. And he finds someone. L'machal, pogabai chaveroi, hiskel mishtatech lufana, v'amalei adoni hamelech. Oh, I believe you. You're the king. What happened to you? How come you're over here? Why aren't you in your palace? So he told him the whole story. So he said to him, "Nu, it's Sunday. You want, you can come to me for lunch today." So he comes to him for lunch, and he brings them in. But the person was very, very poor, and he said, "I'm a very poor person. All I can serve you is some lettuce." El im ritzenchal gagel imi hayoyim b'mat yark. So how you can have some lettuce? Sheyeshli. He goes to his house and he brings him, and he brings him to his house. He washes his hands and feet. He brings him some vegetables. And he begins to comfort him. And he tells him, don't worry, Shlomo. Hashem has made a shvua with your father, David, that the Malchus will never be removed from his seat forever. And it's only a matter of time until you are restored to your position, to your authority, to your palace, to your throne. Don't worry. Nishba Hashem leDavid. Emes lo yashuv mimena miprivitcha ashes lechiselach. El kachu darkash lechadosh baruch. Hakadosh baruch Hu is just giving you mussar. It's only temporary. Do not worry. You'll be restored. And this person succeeded in giving comfort to Shlomo HaMelech. Miyad Niskara Daitai, and that is why when Shlomo HaMelech, according to the Medrash, he later on wrote. See, this is a very interesting Medrash, because this Medrash is a nice Medrash, a nice little story. But what's very beautiful about this Medrash is that Shlomo HaMelech is writing a pasuk here where he is recalling his own personal life. Many psukim that we read, we read over here in Sefer Mishlei, they were written in Ruach HaKodesh. Chazal, 100 years, 1,000 years later, they come along and they take an idea, a concept, and they plug it into the pasuk. I have a story, I have a mashal, and if you want to really see, capture the essence of this mashal, if you read this pasuk, you see it's all there. This is very different. It's a nice little story. Shlomo HaMelech was removed from his power. Ashmedai pushed him out of the castle. He went among his people like a regular pauper. No one knew who he was. He found the two people. One person on one day was very, there were two people who were kind, and one was very nice. He took him in and he gave him a wonderful meal, a shor avos. But during the meal, he caused Shlomo great tsar by reminding him of the glory that he once had. And the other person served Shlomo lettuce, but spoke to him words of comfort. So here, Shlomo HaMelech is actually recounting his event that happened in his own life. And he says, Tov, it was good, the aruchas yorok, that meal of vegetables, even though I'm accustomed to eating something much more elaborate, that meal of vegetables was tov, was delicious. Why? Because the ahav Hashem, that poor man that gave me the vegetables, he loved me. He comforted me. He told me, don't worry. Hashem made a promise to your father. Don't worry, it's just a matter of time until things will turn around and you, your malchus will be restored. Better, mishor ovos, that fat ox that was served to me by this wealthy gevir, this sinisham. And while I sat by his table, he was bitter. He was full of hate. And he was complaining. And he said to me all of these nasty complaints and things that I've done in my malchus, which caused me enormous sar. So this pasuk is an actual record of an event that happened in the lifetime of Shlomo HaMelech. Pasuk Yitras. Ish chema yigore modern. New pasuk. The pasuk says, "Okay, one of the last things. One of the last thing. I left another medrash. The Al Kishmoni. What does it mean? The aruchas yarak. The yarak refers to the morar. We eat at the Lel Seder mat al matzos umirorim yochluhu. We eat the Karm Pesach together with matzah morar. What's matzah morar? It's poor man's bread. Lechem oni. It's slave food. Lettuce. What's morar? It's lettuce. It's yarak." But that meal of eating matzah umarar is worth everything. Why? The ahav Hashem. It represents the love Hashem had for Klal Yisrael. Better than eating the shor avos. Who is the shor avos? The shor avos refers to Bilam HaRasha. Bilam HaRasha came to Kalal Yisrael, so he offered 7 parim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a karban in order to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to succeed in cursing Klal Yisrael. So it was Mole Sina, Usinaba, Toiv Aruchas Yorok, Ve'ahav Hashem. Better go to the Lel Seder and eat some matzah and some more, especially true today with Zman HaZeh when Golos, when we don't have the Karban Pesach. All we really have is Zman HaZeh. You go to the Seder, is matzah morah. Matzah is slave food. And morah is bitter. So what are you eating at the Seder? You're eating aruchas yarok. And what's there? The ahava sham. There is love at the Seder. Better than go to a shor avos. Better go to a state dinner, which is a mashal for the meal of Bilam, Balak and Bilam, the world leaders, the world powers, where they serve, they offer karbanos. And what's there? The sinavo. There's nothing there. Nothing other than hate.
It's better to have the Seder than go to the state dinner. Obama
also makes a Seder. Obama has made a Seder. That's the funny joke. When Obama was campaigning for his so they told him, they said he had his Jewish staff. They made a Seder before he became president, the year before. So they, at the end of the Seder, they said to him, now he's singing Lashon HaBavi Yushalayim. They sang. So Obama said, and you know what I'm going to sing? Lashon HaBa in the White House. Okay.
Anything just not to say Yerushalayim.
You make a whole drasha.
Obviously, Hashem listened to him.
What? Oh, chas v'shalom to say that Hashem only listens to us. Obama's only there for 8 years. No president, nothing in this world is temporary, but the Yerushalayim is nitzchis. And Yerutz Hashem, Baruch Hashem, we have Yerushalayim to some degree. Hashem gave us a matana, we have Yerushalayim to some degree, and Yerutz Hashem will be, it will be returned 100% bin hir of Yemenu.
Much more after him.
What? Absolutely. Yeah, okay. It's just a... But it's a very powerful part. These two midrashim, I think, are really powerful stuff. It's what I like about the first medrash is Shlomo HaMelech is talking about himself. He is recounting a personal event. It's very different than most of the midrashim that we have. Later, Malach Hazal, we're plugging in. Mm-hmm. This is a personal story. I remember. I was.
I had this.
Exactly. And then the second medrash is something which is very practical for us. We sit by the seder. What are we eating? We're eating, really eating Aruch HaSiyarok. That's what our seder is. It's an Aruch HaSiyarok. It's man hazeh. There's no meat. I mean, we have Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, right? Okay, so you have Shulchan Aruch. But the mitzvah, the mitzvah of this is Aruch HaSiyarok. It's a meal of vegetable. You have some matzah, some maror, korech. It's korech, matzah, maror. But the ahava sham. That's the ikar of Muslim life. Better mishar avos v'sinavo. To go to a state dinner, they'll serve you the best of the best, but v'sinavo, but you don't know if they really have your best interest in mind. Pasuk Yud Ches. Ish chema yigore modon. An angry person, yigore, provokes quarrels. The erech apayim, a person who's patient, yashkit riv, has the koyach to quiet down an argument to this person that's coming today, or a pinter. I saw, but did he have the uvda? I saw once a big fight break out. And I saw, see,
a lot of
oh yes, I gravitate to these things. I saw something very uncomfortable, and I was very misragish. How he approached one of the people that was involved, and he spoke to him in a very beautiful way, and he really calmed him down. You'll see when he'll come into, he's a very calm, very calm person. He really fulfilled this pasuk. The erech apayim yashkit ruach has the koyach to silence a quarrel. Pasuk yud ches in the mitzudot stav ishchema mi shedarkoi lichois. An angry fellow, Yigore Meriva in Bnei Adam, unfortunately provokes quarrels among people. Modon is a word we have pretty often in Mishlei. Modon means quarrels. Yigore means to provoke. Yigore Meriva in Bnei Adam, Avol Hamarichaf, a person who's patient and is gentle and is calm. Ve'enoi Mimaher Lichos, Yashkit. Yashkit means to quiet. Sheket. Silence. The Zeh, Es Hamariva, has the ability to silence, to put an end to quarrels. Rashi Pasuk Yud Ches, Ish Chema Yigore Madon, Adam She'en Ma'atzar Leruho. There's nothing holding him back. There's no lid on his mouth, no lid on his spirit. Lahar Chamoso Yigore Madon, he will naturally cause other people to quarrel. But the Erech Apayim, one who's not swift to take revenge and to quarrel, yashkit riv shehu kala v'sheket may all of
it ends
and silences may all of may all by itself or svarim acherim may all of from him may all of or the two different may all of. Me'ela, what's the difference in that word over there? Mem, Aleph, or the Aleph and Ayin. Aleph or Ayin. Upon you or away from him? Me'ela, meaning away from him.
He is the cause of the quiet. From him.
From him.
He is the cause of the quietness.
Me'ela is naturally. Of course, me'ela means from upon, with an Ayin from upon him. He has the ability, if he is the subject of the quarrel, if he's calm, then the Mela, things quiet down. Things settle down. But if you get more and more angry, starker the Torah. You fight back, that's the beginning of the pasuk, then the quarrel just intensifies. Let's see the Medrash. The Medrash here talks about, okay, really what Rashi says, it's not really mach very much, but... Ezel Gibar, okay, just shell to the pasuk, the famous Chazal, Ezel Gibar, HaKoivesh Es Yitzro. True Gevura is the ability to withhold. HaKoivesh Es Yitzro. Toiv Erech HaPayim Migibar Moshel. So that's really the word shell to over here is Erech HaPayim Yashkit. Person who's very gentle, he is the true Gibor. We say this every day in Davening, 3 times. Kel Hagodol Hagibor V'Hanoira. Why do we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu a Gibor? A Gibor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he holds back. He holds back. He does not punish us according to what we deserve. And in what? HaKoyvesh HaSitzro. And in what? Zuchus? The Zuchus of us. Not in our Zuchus. Hashem remembers Yavos. That's why we say Kel Hagodol. Godol means to give. And we explain. We say Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibar, VeHanayra. Kel, or maybe there's a way to fix this microphone with your magic touch. With your magic touch, go over, maybe turn it, maybe to turn it around. I don't know. What? Okay, so Gibar is the Goyach to withhold, and that's what it says over here. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Yutes. Pasuk Yutes, Derech Otzel Kim Suchas Chodek, the way of a lazy person. Oh. Magic touch. He said a shame. He said one of the shamos. There were klipos hovering over the. Derech Otzel Kim Suchas Chodek. The way of a lazy person is always to find himself up against a hard wall, Mitsuchas, according to the Mitsudos, means a wall, a geder. Look at your test in the Mitsudos Sion. In your geder, kamo, haser misuchaso, remove the fence. And chodek means a fence of thorns. So it's one thing you have a fence, but when you have a fence of thorns, you want to stay far, far away. A lazy person will always find excuses. That's really what the pasuk means. You give him a job, give him a mission, he'll never get it done. He'll always find a million excuses. But in contrast, the Oirach Yesharim, the path of the upright, Silula, is paved. Even if you give him an extremely difficult mission, he will get the job done. He will remove from the road all of the impediments. The word Silula is a very powerful word. It doesn't just mean it's a paved road. When you say a road is paved, that can just mean naturally you got lucky. In this terrain, there are no impediments. So Mamela, you call it a paved road. That's not what it means. Silula has a connotation that once upon a time there were rocks. There were stumbling blocks. There were impediments. And you've gone through the effort to remove all of the impediments to make it flat and level. That is the word silula. The word silula has the connotation that it had a history of not being silula, of being a difficult terrain. Let's see the Mitzvah supposed to Yutes. Derech Hatzel, B'mokam Asher Yidrech Hatzel, the place where the lazy person treads. Yid Meloi Ki Ilu Gedesh Shal Koitzim, it appears to him in his mind as if there is a fence of Koitzim, of Chodek. A mesucha of chodek, a fence of thorns, lefanov, and what is the nafkamina? Umeakvoy, and it prevents him loleches to travel on this path. Ki lugoidel haatzlos, due to the enormous laziness, yimsa menias lechol masav, he'll always find excuses to prevent him from fulfilling his job. Avol oirach yisharim, the way of the upright, hu lohem derech selulu chavusha, it's a paved road, it's been trodden. Ki motzei tzadim levatel hamanios, he will always find a way to remove the impediments, remove the difficulties that he comes in contact with on his path. Now Rashi alludes here to a medrash. Let's just see over here what it says first. Rashi pasuk chaf, derech pasuk yutes, or pasuk yutes, derech otzel kim suchas chodek. The way of a lazy person is a fence of thorns. Doime be'enav. Okay, so Rashi adds in these two important words, because the word pasuk cannot be translated literally. You have to add a little bit more bayer into the pasuk. It appears in his eyes, ki'ilu, as if, hadrachim, the road that he wants to travel, gidurim, lefanov, are fenced in front of him, begeder chadokim, with a fence of thorns. What is the word misuchas? It means a geder. Kemo haser misuchaso, the same pasuk that was quoted by the Mitzudos Tzion. Chedek means kotzim. in contrast to this lazy man, the Oirach Yesharim Silula, Kivusha Umefuna. It has been paved. Kivusha stepped upon. It's clear. Kama. Now Rashi quotes a Medrash, which I'll go through in a little bit more detail in a moment. Medrash Agada, Darkoi Shel Esav. It is the way of Esav, which really means here Edom, the nations of the world, Kikotse, like this thorn, Hanisbach Begiza Satsemer, that gets stuck in a tuft of wool, Imtitlehu, if you attempt to remove the wool from the thorn, Mikan, Hu Misore Bekan, it gets stuck. Now, I wish we would say a little better. A kotze, and it's not just a kotze, it's like a branch of thorns. If you try to remove the wool from this side, it gets caught on the other side. And it's a big mess to free a tuft of wool from a branch of thorns. As you try to loosen on one side, it gets caught on the other side. In Tidleu Mikan, Hu Misore Bekan, Kach, likewise. Here's where the Medrash follows through. This is a mashal for Esav. Ein Adam Yacholotse Sidei Ali Loisav Beloy Mama. A person can't escape from Esav without money. Bribes, money. You have to pay your way to get out. Now, what exactly does this mean? So the Rashi is really alluding to a Medrash. Over here, it's a very long Medrash. It's in the Pesikta Rabasi, where he talks about paying taxes. That when the Esav comes to demand collect taxes from Klal Yisrael, there's always another tax. There's something called a head tax, and there's a land tax, and there's a sales tax, there's a water tax, and there are cell phone taxes. There are taxes, and now they want to make an internet tax. E-commerce tax. They're always taxes. And when they get a sense, this is the Medrash elaborates, when the tax collector comes and he finally gets a sense that he's closing in on collecting the taxes that are owed, the tax collector gets depressed. What am I going to do after? I'm going to succeed in collecting the tax, but what's next? So he immediately comes up with another tax. And then after he's able to collect another tax, there's another tax. So he keeps on going on, and there's no way to escape from Esav. Esav, when they attempt to tax us, we always are caught up in their thorns. In contrast, Rashi is not quoting the end of the Medrash. In contrast, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only demanded one tax from us, the Machzis HaShekel. And the Machzis HaShekel is not even the smallest coin in the Torah. Shekel at least would be something significant. Hashem does not even want a whole shekel. Hashem is satisfied if you give him machzis shekel. And it's not even for Hashem. It's for us. L'chaper al nafsho seichem. Esav is taking taxes for themselves, for their benefit, for their hana. Hashem says, I don't want your money. I don't need your money. I want you just to give me a small teeny mashu. And even that mashu I'm asking you to give, it's not for me. It's in order that you should have kapara for karbonas sibur. L'chaper, as the pasuk says, l'chaper al nafsho seichem. It's for the karbon sibur, which is going to serve as atonement for your neshama. So this is what Rashi was alluding to, the derech otzel kim suchas chodek. Esav is the lazy man. I was assuming he means lazy, he did not want to accept upon himself the old mitzvos. He had the opportunity to be part of Klal Yisrael just like Yaakov Avinu. He was lazy. It was too much work for him. And now he has become basically a branch of thorns. According to Rashi, the word or the Medrash, the Suchas, doesn't necessarily mean a wall. Rashi translated the word Misuchas as a wall based upon a pasuk in Yeshaya. But according to the Medrash, it really refers to a branch that has thorns, and then the mashal is when it gets entangled with the wool, you try to pull out the wool on one side, you get tangled on the other side, it's very hard to escape from the otzel, the lazy person. B'didi havi uvda. I had a story where a worker, he did something, this is dealing over here with a teeny little repair of something, a leak in a room, and he had to come in and just put a new piece of sheetrock over the little area, and he could have put it in straight, but he decided not to put it in straight. He decided to be lazy and not to level it. So he put a little crooked this way, a little crooked that way. So then the tile didn't go on. And then on top of the tile, the appliance didn't go on. And on top of the appliance, something else didn't go on. And every step of the way, he said he can resolve it by with a bandage. If you would not have been lazy, and you would have done the first step properly, spend an extra 10 minutes to do it the right way, all of these things would not have happened. You wouldn't have to have, all the collateral damage would not have come about. And that's really what it says. The otzel, the lazy person, when you start out lazy in the very beginning, your whole life, you're trying to catch up. It's kimsuchas chodek. It's like you're caught, a piece of wool is caught in a branch of thorns. When you try to pull out, repair damage over here, now there's damage over here. And when you try to repair that damage, there's damage over here. And this goes on an endless cycle back and forth, and you can never escape from the lazy man. And in the big picture of things, this refers to Esav. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Chof is Bein Chacham Yitzamachav. We had this Pasuk in the beginning of the Sefer, almost identical, but I'm not exactly sure why we're repeating the idea here, but nevertheless, there is some repetition. Bein Chacham Yitzamachav, a wise man gives simcha to a father. Uchasil Adam, a foolish man, the foolish people among men, Boze Imo, disgraces their mother, is a disgrace to their mother. What does this mean? Let's see the Mitzvot Pasachov, Yisamachav, also Bimoshav HaChachamim. When a father sees that his son is a Chacham, that he's in the company of wise men, the father has great simcha. In contrast, when a parent sees, a mother sees that her son is a fool, it's not when the mother sees it, it's a curse to the mother, it's a disgrace to the mother. When a person does terrible things, people, they say, you know why he did this? Because he had no education, he was not raised, he had no upbringing, he was not raised properly, and who was responsible for his upbringing? His mother. The father, you can't have any complaints against. The father was working, the father's making a parnasa. So who gets the blame? The mother gets the blame. It was her responsibility. It's a very powerful idea, we mentioned this idea when we learned this pasuk back in the beginning of the Sefer Mishlei, is that all the credit always goes to the father, but the blame goes to the mother. That's what it says. That's what it says in this pasuk. When the son is successful and the son is a chacham, who do they give cover to? The father. Ah, look at that. The father has great simcha. He gets the credit. Yisamach. And when the child is a failure, the primary blame is the mother. It's not fair. It's usually the other way around. You know the story with a person that had 12 children. He sat in Kollel. He never stepped foot in his home his entire life. One day he gets a call. Don't ask too many questions. And then he gets a call one day from his wife. He's in Kollel. He gets a call on the cell phone. He doesn't have a cell phone. So someone calls him, someone else's cell phone. Your wife is on a pay. What's a pay phone? It's in the museum, a payphone. So he gets a call from his wife. Your daughter is getting married tonight. I know you don't even know you have a daughter. You don't know what her name is. But guess what? You have a daughter. And tonight's the wedding. Please show up to the wedding. Oh, okay, I'm going to come. Okay, I have for you a suit. I have for you a new kapata, a new shirt, a new talisman, a fresh set of clothing. Come home and get dressed, and we'll go to the chasna. He comes home. He gets dressed. He puts on his kapata. As you know, he's very heavy. He's very large. And he takes the kapata, and he closes the button. And as he closes the button pops off. So he gets that on the floor. And he picks up the button and he looks at his kapata and he goes, oh, tsar gidl banan.
Do you think we could tie this into a Rivka? Rivka had a better insight into...
Nashim bina yisera. You couldn't say this on a better day. B'nei vina yimei shemona. Today is the 8th day of Chanukah, and the 8th day of Chanukah is the day that the day of Noshem, B'nei Bina B'nei Shemona. So you want to say that Rivka, the Machloikis, and Rivka and Yitzchak, Rivka had was more on target in Echanami, Bina Yisera. That's a discussion.
More in tune
with the reality, yeah. With what's going on. Okay, in Echanami, Hashem said to Avram, Kol Asher Toymar Lecha, Kol Asher Toymar Sarah, Shema B'Koyla. Hashem himself said it. Hashem didn't say it about Rivka. It's interesting. Hashem said it about Sarah. Rivka, there was also, Avram seemed to be okay with Yishmael. As far as Avram was concerned, it's Mashmi, he would have accepted Yishmael, whatever it will be, will be. But Hashem intervened. Rivka did not wait for Hashem to intervene, she took matters into her own hand. Is that a Milo Chasar? This is discussed by the Rishonim, this is a very complicated issue, I don't know. But here, it's a very interesting thing here, where we have this idea, we have a child that's successful, Yisamach Of. The simcha goes to the father. It appears from the pasuk is saying is that for a mother, you always could have done more. A mother was very demanding. There's truth to this.
Myself,
a mother, a mother, no matter what you accomplish, you win the Nobel Prize. You could have done better. You could have done better.
You could have been Rockefeller.
It's like someone told me once. He loves to travel. Oh, this person. He's not a young fellow anymore, this person, but he used to, in his life, he was a very wealthy person. He traveled all over the world, every corner of the world. So he once said to me, he was joking, but it wasn't really a joke, that he's seen it all. He's been everywhere. So someone once asked him, "You've gone everywhere. You've gone to every corner of the world. Where are you going to go next year?" "Somewhere else." What does that mean, somewhere else? Okay. A mother always seems to want more for her child. More. Therefore, the mother has simcha, but not like the father is satisfied. Yisamach Of has a connotation that the father has a degree of satisfaction. Uchasil Adam, but when a person, a human being, is a chasil, people curse the mother. They curse the mother. What kind of mother does this person have? How could she raise such a child and allow him to turn out the way he did? Mitsudo seems to say that there's some validity in this criticism, because it's the derech of a mother to hold back the rod, to hold back the stick. A father is very quick, generally, you can't generalize, but derech klal, a father is tough. A father... What?
Tiro,
you're afraid of the father. It's softer.
Because, yeah.
She holds back punishment. The father is the one that punishes. All the way around, because the mother is one that the mishtalda bidvarim. Let's look at Masus for a precise translation. Pasachav yisamachav. Here's very strong words. Kiderech nashim ligageya al b'neim. It's the way of women. Ligageya means to play. To play with their children. V'limnoya mehem shevet musar. Women don't give musar to their child. V'habriyos, here's the powerful words of the Mitzvos. Mankind, brios, society. Mivazin oisam, osam here is the pull of the mothers. The mothers, even though you can really say osam with a nun, but you can say a collection of females also can be also osam. Loimar, Orur Shazer Godal. Curse are these people, the mother, that raised such a child. So a child misbehaves, it's a disgrace to the mother. I told you this a few times, this idea, when the mothers of the Kohanim Gedolim would circulate among the Ari Miklat and provide the people with food in order that the people should not be misspelled, that their children should die. Because when the Kohen Gadol died, then everyone, the Ari Miklat, gets released. So the mother of the Kohen Gadol would distribute food. So the question many people ask, why only did the mothers distribute food? Why didn't the father of the Kohen Gadol distribute food? Why didn't the wife of the Kohen Gadol distribute? Why didn't his children distribute food? The answer is the mother feels responsible. The mother, when the mother sees that her child is a Kohen Gadol, she knows it's only because of her. It's because of her chinuch, her upbringing, what she did. And she blames herself. The fact that there are people that are in Ari Miklat, that are there because of the sins of the Kohen Gadol, and are going to be released with his death, the mother feels guilty. The wife of the Kohen Gadol doesn't feel guilty. It's very sad. My husband may die due to the prayers of the people in the Ari Miklat, but it's not my fault. I'm not responsible for his success, for where he is. The mother is responsible. So the mother is very diminished, very tough on herself. Okay, let's see what the Apostle Rashi, Ben Chacham Yisamach Av, Uxil Adam Bozimo, Goyreim Li'imoy Shemevazim Oysa. A foolish child causes people to disgrace his mother by saying, "Woe to this woman, cursed be this woman that raised such a child. Curse the womb that released a child," and let's say about Esa, that's what Rivka said. Chazal say that the reason why the Torah hides the death of Rivka. Nowhere in the Torah does it say Rivka died. Rashi point, Rashi, we only know that Rivka died derech remes when Devorah died. Aloin Bachus, they buried her in the valley of Bachus Beloshen Rabim. There was a double Bechia. The Bechia for Devorah and the Bechia for Rivka. By the way, some say that Devorah was the mother of Rivka. Very mysterious. Who was Devorah's So what does it mean, a nurse? So there's a Medrash Agada. I saw this in the Torah Shlema. It says that Devorah was Yitzchak's, was Yaakov's grandmother. Shocking thing. Was Yaakov's grandmother. It was the mother of Rivka and Lavan's wife.
What's his Lavan?
Lavan's Lavan's wife. Lavan's, who was Lavan's wife? We have any records?
No, Besuel's.
Lavan had Rachel.
Rivka's brother.
Lavan had a. We don't know. Wait. Lavan's daughters were Rachel and Leah.
But Rivka.
Oh, Rivka, right. So Rivka, so that means Besuel's wife. Besuel's wife.
She was an almana. She lost her husband at the time, so she went.
These are very big mysteries.
Who were by the daughter?
Who were these women? Who were these people? Who was Bilhah and Zilpah? These are all very mysterious things.
Bilhah and Zilpah were daughters from Pelashah.
But who would they come from? So there are various midrashim. Okay, but in any event, this is what. Then so they're just going tying this back to that pasuk. Has Rashi on that pasuk tells us why is there no mention when Rashi says Aloin Bachus? Here it's Merami's on the death of Rivka, and Rashi there says why is there no mention in the Torah of Rivka's death? Rashi says because the Torah wanted to hide her death. People should not curse her because. When a person dies, what do they look at? If you ever hear a good hesped, if you ever hear a good maspid, they talk about the children. They say, what's the covet for the person? Look at who they produced. Look at the ikar covet for a person are their children, when they were talking about Rivka, what would they be maspid her? The first thing that comes to mind to the maspidim is, look at Rivka, look who she produced. So they'll say, okay, Yaakov, okay, very nice. But she also produced Esav. And Esav at this point in time was much more prominent in society. Yaakov was Nechma ben Akel. Yaakov, we only became Yaakov Avinu today. But at that point in time in society, Esav was a world leader, and he was already known to be a Rasha. He was a tyrant. So what are they going to say? They're going to say, oh, she's the mother of the Kohel Yingaman, who's a shepherd working in Lavan 20 years, working like a slave for Lavan. That he wasn't even on the agenda. He wasn't even known, Yaakov. But everyone knew about Yitzchak. And everyone knew what a Rasha, what a tyrant he was. Esav. Everyone knew about Esav. Oh, so what are they going to be? Maspid Rivka. What are they going to say by her Levaya? Rivka! Who is Rivka? The mother of Saddam. Could you imagine? What kind of hespedim they're going to give? So the Torah says, better hide her death. And that's exactly what it says here in this pasuk. It says here in this pasuk, "Bein ben chacham yisamachav uchesil adam boze imo." It's a disgrace to the mother. The Torah spared Rivka of this disgrace by hiding her death. Okay.
For the father.
Why was Nabiza? Well, Esav was. That's what the pasuk says. The people that they criticized the mother more than the father. The father is busy making parnasa. The one that was in the, at least until the 21st century, or the 20th century, the one that primarily had the role of raising a child was the mother. Kol kavuda bas melech penima. Today, obviously, that's a very tough chazal for this generation, where it's hard enough to make a living. Even two parents work. It's hard to make a living. So. But traditionally, this was Chazal's ideal look at is that called kavuda bas melech penima? Yikeres habayis. She's the one that's responsible for the upbringing. And when the child misbehaves, the one that they primarily blame is the mother. Okay, let's go for the pasuk chaf aleph. Chaf aleph. Iveles simcha lachasar leiv. Foolish. Let's just read the mitzvahs right away. Pasuk of Aleph, Iveles, Kasha Yase Chasar Lev Iveles, Yechoshe Be'enav L'Simcha. We have to read these words backwards. These words cannot be read forward. when a chasar leif, not only backwards, we have to change around the order entirely. We take the first three expressions. Iveles, 1, 2 is simcha, 3 is chasar leif. When a chasar leif does an act of foolishness, performs iveles, simcha, he has joy. It all comes with the territory. Someone who's a tipish, a chasar leif, he delights in foolish things. But in contrast, v'ish tivuna, yiyasher loches, yisamach, according to the mitzudos, we're going to repeat a word, which is often done in the mitzudos. We take the word simcha, and that word is repeated in the second half of the pasuk. V'chasher, v'ish tivuna, when a wise man, yisamach, he has joy, kasher yelech b'derech hayashar. When he goes in the derech hayashar, that brings simcha to a wise man. Each person has a different type of simcha. What makes one person happy is not what makes another person happy. A fool is happy with foolishness. A chacham is happy with chokhmah, is happy with doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi, Pasuk Chof Beis, Pasuk Chof Aleph, Iveles, Simcha hi lechasar leif. Foolishness is a simcha for a chasar leif. Rashi is doing the same thing as the Mitzvah is doing, just telling us to read the words out of order. And Rashi does not comment on the end of the Pasuk, which we could assume is the same as the Mitzudos David. Let's go to next Pasuk. Pasuk Chof Beis.
Who was first, Rashi or the Mitzudos?
Rashi, of course. Rashi, I always say this like this, but that's only because...
But this is not the real Rashi.
No, it is the real Rashi. I don't think so. Only Eiv, we have a question. Eiv and Divrei Hayomim. But Mishlei, I don't recall anyone challenging its authenticity. What?
In certain places it says Rashi.
Yeah.
There's a column that says Rashi.
Yeah.
And in other, Gemara never says Rashi.
Doesn't mean anything. That's just the printers.
This was the printers knew that some Rashi's were not real Rashi's.
Okay, it could be.
They would put the word Rashi on it to let you know.
Okay, a lot of these things are not clear. Even Divrei Hayamim and Eiv, there are questions as to who is the real author. Is it really Rashi? Was it his Talmidim, his grandchildren? We don't really know. But even the Rashi's on Mishlei, and there are many Rashi's in Nach, there's a real question if it's the complete version of Rashi. There are definitely certain Rashi's which there's something missing, there's something wrong. There's a sense that it could be that a chunk of Rashi was lost from us, and we only have bits and pieces, and that's why it doesn't flow the way we would expect, the way it flows in the Gemara, the way it flows in Chumash. Okay, but seemingly this indeed is the real Rashi. And of course, Rashi was a Rishon. Rashi lived in the 12th century, and the Mitzudos much later. The Mitzudos is relatively modern. But I always say the Mitzudos because the Mitzudos, it's very clear. And then just to compare, Mitzudos was a Likut. A lot of the things in the Mitzudos are not original. He's taking from Rashi, he's taking from other Rishonim. I don't know, there could be times where he's Mechadish, he says his own things, but it appears that the Mitzudos is very respectful to the Rishonim and is being Malachan and presenting things in a very clear way. Or we always abuse the Mitzudos by first quoting the Mitzudos and then saying, did Rashi say like them? But of course, it goes without saying that. I don't mean it like that. I'm just doing that for the sake of clarification. Let's go to Pasuk HaBeis, Hofer Machshavos Be'ein Sod, Uberoi V'yuat Sim Tokum. Pasuk, let's see, Chapez right away in the Mitzvahs. Chafer, Machshavos Adam Yufar V'Yevutal Kishlo Yoatz Atzma Im Yoatzim. Sod means to seek advice. Sod really is counsel. It's the same exact thing as the word Yoatzim or Eitza in the end of the pasuk. So it's just a poetic repetition or a synonym. Thoughts are annulled when there is no counsel. When a person does not seek advice from experts, the experts in his field, in the industry, then nothing will come of his plans. But when you seek advice, counsel, guidance, takum, then one will succeed, he will prevail. Let's see again, the Mitzvot Pasuk HaBeis, Hofer Machshavos Adam, Yufar. Hofer means annulled. become nothing. Vivutal, they dissipate. Kishelo yoyetz atzmo im yoatzim lahamtik sod. When one fails to seek advice with the wise, lahamtik sod is, lahamtik means to taste from the secret, which is an expression which means to get good advice. Avol al yidei harbe yoatzim toker machshava. Machshava, success prevails, it rises. It's a very funny pasuk because, I mean, look at the, we're learning this parasha of Paro. Paro sought out advice from the expert dream interpreters. And from the pasuk you get this expression, all the king's horse and all the king's men can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And I think we even live in society today, you talk about the President of the United States and he has all his yoatzim, sons of yoatzim. We don't really have respect, right? We don't like, many of us, we're saying we could have done a lot better. I remember in Shul, they did renovations on the Aron Kodesh and the Bima, and everyone came along. Everyone, B'li Yotzei Min HaKlal, came along to criticize, to critique what was being done. Why are you putting in this siren? Why are you putting on these pillars? Why are you using this carpet? Why are these chairs? Every time Dick and Harry, in the whole shul, and the person in charge, he got up and he said, in shul, it's dead. There's no one here has wants to contribute, to give money, to participate in the programs. But for this, everyone came to life. Everyone came out of the woodwork. Ad kidei kach. It was kedai for people to become members just so that they can criticize what we're doing. So when it comes to yoatzim, we don't always think, we don't always feel that it works, but at least ideally, the more advice you seek, the more insight you gain, the better the plan is, the better look you have going forward. Let's take a look at next part. Yeah.
By Mishaberach said, "Lava should not have asorit palmim tiva levarchem."
Wait, I don't understand. Say that in English.
By Mishaberach.
Yeah. Give money, right? Yeah.
He said, "Bavishanodav, asara pa'amim tiva levarchem."
Ten times
tiva levarchem.
But he didn't pay.
He didn't pay.
You have a choice, bavishanodav or bavishanodav, tiva levarchem. He said,
He doesn't believe in that.
Why? Because he says that when you make a Mishaberach, you're saying, I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bless him. He says, what right do I have to demand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him a bracha? But if you give tzedaka, I'm an Asher Yechiyah B'ni, okay. So every time they paid Mishaberach for him, he always gave money.
Uh-huh.
And even if they kept on making, he had an aliyah once, they kept on making multiple Mishaberach. Every time he said, he had to give him more money.
All right. Now this is a very beautiful pasuk. Pasuk Habei is there with a lot of midrash on this pasuk. I just want to make sure, is he here? Our guest? Not yet. Okay. Simcha le'ish b'manei pith. A person has great joy. The true joy to man is when he has what to say. And it's not just what you have to say, it's if you're able to say what is, not only if you have what to say, but you're able to say it in the right time.
How you say it.
And you say it in the right time. V'dovar bi'itoy matoiv, a matter in its right time. Matoiv, what can possibly be better? You can have the best speech, but it has to be for the right audience. If it's not the right audience, and even if it's the right audience, it's not the right time. People are just not in a frame of mind of listening. You will lose your punch, you lose your kayak. Let's see over here, this is the Rashi.
You have to have a pause, the right pause.
You have everything. Timing is basically is everything. Everything. Let's see over here, Pasuk of Kibbutz, Mitzudas, Simchas, Simcha. It's a long Mitzudas. Kolish, every man, every human being, Yismach, rejoice be'imrei piv. It takes joy in what comes out of his mouth. Ki yumtak loy atzas nafsho. It's sweet to him. The atzas, his own ideas, his own thoughts, his own schemes. Avol dovar beitoy mamod hu tov. Even though a person generally, a person always loves to talk. You have machshavos, you have chidushim, but even though you enjoy it, it's not always the best time to say it, to express it. There's a time to give forth, to bring forth the ideas. What does this mean? What's the summary of this idea? Af im lo yihya atzas nafshay behaskel, even if your ideas are not wise, v'af im etzliach bo'itzahahi, bedover kayotze bo, and even if you are successful in this plan, in a similar situation, all times are not the same. The idea is excellent, but it's not the time and the place for this idea. As I once told you, a parent once went to watch and observe a class. They were deciding on a school, and they wanted to sit in on the class to see if this school is what they feel would be good for their child. And they were very impressed with the Rebbe, because the Rebbe, what was it? Why? Because there was a child in the class that he was asked to give. Yeah, the Rebbe asked a question. Child raised his hand and gave the wrong answer. So the Rebbe said to the child, "That is an excellent answer for a different question." Oh, you really like that.
Hit home.
I had a professor who used to say,
"Hit home." Say that.
Statistics, there are two kinds of errors.
Yeah.
So when somebody asks them a question, give an answer, and then you say, "Did I commit the third type of error?" Which means I answered to a question that wasn't asked.
So that's what the Mitzvah says. The Mitzvah says that it's an excellent idea, but just this is not the place for this idea. It's not the environment.
No, but it says, the Mishnah says, Simcha leish
b'manasi. But
you always have Simcha.
You always have Simcha. But v'davar b'itay matov. That's exactly the point.
Wow.
It has to be the right, when your ideas are excellent. They are superb. They're five star. But it's only going to be successful if it is applied in the proper time and location. Okay, that's the basic idea. Let's really see what it says over here in the Rashi. Rashi is saying something very different than the Mitzvah. Rashi is just saying generally that Ma'ane piv means a response. Rashi is focusing on not just a general thought. According to the Mitzvah, ma'ane piv means something which comes out of his mouth. Generally, you have an idea, you have a machshava, it comes out of your mouth. You yourself enjoy it. But just because you enjoy it doesn't mean other people are going to enjoy it. Other people only enjoy it when it's presented in the proper time. Rashi is telling us, kimashmo, al yidei ma'ane rach, when a person talks softly, the dibur nachas, and his dibur is pleasant, habriyos oyavim also, there is simcha l'ish, means simcha is given to the person. People love him. They love him. But Rabbi Seder, okay, that's the end of the pshat. Then Rashi already goes into the midrashim. Rashi says, Rabbi Seder, Darshu al balei girsa, it might seem b'fiyam ma'ane os teskayim bam, then they will succeed. They will exist in what they said. V'yismach. In other words, according to the first medrash, I mean, there's no greater simcha a person has in life than to answer a halachic question, or to say over divrei Torah. The greatest simcha in life is when a person asks a paisek a shayla, and the paisek knows the answer to the shayla. That's general. Torah asfekas is asfekas generally in life, but this, over here the Chazal are applying this specifically to divrei Torah. Divrei Torah. The world is built with Torah. Bereishis bara Elokim b'shvil reish b'shvil Torah. The world was created, and when a person is in a situation where he's presented with a halacha, with a question in Torah, and you're able to answer the question, you're able to decide. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Paskin Ashayla, this is the greatest simcha that there is in life, to be able to lasuke shmeitz litulchus in the proper time. Okay, we have over here today a very, very special guest, a very, very big schos to have here, Rav Shmelka Pinter, and Shmuel Pinter was a Rav, he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. I know him, there's a coil around the corner, Rabbi Schmidman Shul, I meet him every so often. And without further ado, like a Shmelkov commander, the Mahanos with some very tired.